Well, hey there, and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Chris Rozowski. I serve as the Family Ministries Pastor at our Lewis Center campus. Well, summer is finally here. We get to enjoy some of our favorite summer activities. I know our family, one of the things that we really like to do is go to the Columbus Zoo. And obviously it's a zoo, right? So there's all these different animals there. And one of the things I noticed recently was you have these like really incredible, popular, majestic animals there, right? You've got the tigers, you've got the bears, you've got these giraffes that you can even feed at the zoo, and elephants, and you've got these kind of beautiful, majestic animals, and then you have animals that are kind of anything but, right? You've got some kind of odd looking animals, some that are weird, some that are slimy, some of them that frankly they stink, right? They're smelly. Like if you go over to the area where there's farm animals like donkeys. And you know, there's a very ironic story in the Bible that's kind of about Jesus riding on a donkey. It happens in Luke 19. It's towards the end of Jesus's ministry. He had been kind of serving for 3 years, doing his teaching and ministry. And Jesus is kind of trending at this point, right? People would have known his reputation, how he teaches, what he teaches. He would have had followers, and he would have been known for these incredible miracles that he had done. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, which is a really important city. It's where the temple was, where the people would go and worship God. And it's the place that really Old Testament prophecy had said that the Messiah would reign from. And so Jesus heading towards Jerusalem was a big deal. The people of Israel believed that this Messiah would be from the family line of King David, and he would return kind of the people of Israel to their former glory. And so Jesus heading to Jerusalem is a huge deal. But before he enters Jerusalem, Jesus does something very interesting that shows that maybe he's a different type of king than what the people were expecting. In Luke 19, verse 29, it says that as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, "Go into the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, or a donkey, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord needs it." So Jesus and his disciples, they stop near these two small villages near the road to Jerusalem. And he gives two of his disciples clear instructions to go and find this donkey. And the fact that Jesus chooses to enter the city of Jerusalem, this capital city, the city of the long-awaited Messiah and King, on a donkey is really somewhat shocking. You know, if we believe the Bible to be true, which it is, and if we believe what the Bible says about Jesus is true, which again, it is, then we're talking about God in the flesh, the creator of the universe, and the Messiah who will establish God's kingdom forever. We see him choosing a lowly, smelly donkey. You know, kings in Jesus' day would travel on majestic animals. They would have robes of splendor and a whole entourage with them. And kind of we see this today, right? We may not have political kings in the U.S., but we have cultural kings and queens. We've got many famous athletes, artists, and celebrities who wear the most fashionable outfits, the shoes, the jewelry. They drive the best cars. And even for our political leaders today, they wear the nicest suits and outfits, and they're transported in top of the line and secure vehicles with a whole entourage sometimes of Secret Service agents and a police escort. And so here we see Jesus, the King of Kings, choosing a humble donkey. You know, this shows us that Jesus came to be a different kind of king that maybe anybody would expect, and that he would enter Jerusalem humbly. And so here we see Jesus entering Jerusalem, and then something very interesting happens. In verse 36, it says, as he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. And now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And so as Jesus journeys on the road that takes him into the city of Jerusalem, there's a super ironic picture taking place. Instead of him riding on some type of majestic animal, instead of him having royal robes, and instead of having this royal entourage, we see Jesus riding on a lowly, smelly, young donkey. And he's having to sit on his disciples' clothes as they walk next to him. And it's this very humble picture of a very humble king. And yet the people from the city come out and the disciples begin to herald him as really a political or military king. They throw their robes on the ground, and this would have been a way to honor special dignitaries. They wave palm branches, which would have been a symbol for military victory. And they begin chanting Hosanna, which means save now or save us. This was really a common patriotic cheer. Well, why are they doing all this? Because of their felt need. No, really what they wanted was for Jesus to begin a military campaign to set them free from the reign of the Roman Empire that they had been subjected to for a long time. But what they didn't realize was that Jesus was coming to set them free from a different type of captivity, from captivity to sin. And ultimately, really, it's our captivity to sin that causes one nation to bring another nation into captivity, right? And here is the irony in all of this, that instead of coming to kill Romans to set Israel free, Jesus is coming to suffer and be killed by the Romans in order to make freedom from sin and death available for all. You know, later on in the book of Luke, we see that the people actually turn on Jesus because they begin to realize he's not really the type of king they want. But yet he faithfully suffers for them in order to become the greater king that they needed. And we see this beautiful irony in the gospel. And there's also a beautiful tension for all of us, right? If we're to be honest, many of us want Jesus to kind of fit into what we want him to be. But Jesus came in his kindness and his grace and his humility to show himself to be a king who surpasses our greatest expectations and meets our greater needs. The needs that are beneath the surface, that are at the core and the heart of what we struggle with and wrestle with every day. The things that are more than surface level needs, and ultimately those needs that are a result of sin in our lives. And he's come to not only deal with the sin in our hearts and in our lives, but he's come to call us into a greater kingdom that transcends human dividing lines. And so what is the right response to this type of king? Well, one, it's exactly what the people did. It's to worship him, right? That we proclaim him for who he is. We sing about who he is, but we serve who he is as the humble king in every area of our lives. And then two, it's humility. It's to submit to his reign and rule and to say, Jesus, you are a greater king. You surpass our expectations, and we want to serve you. And you know what I love about the picture here is that even though the people, their motivations in a lot of ways were off, Jesus still faithfully comes to serve them and save them. And so friends, you and I, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes our expectations are off. Sometimes our motivations are off, if we'll be honest. And yet Jesus loves us, and he comes to us and he says, I went to the cross for you because I love you. And I'm calling you as my own to be my people and be part of my kingdom, because he's just that good and gracious. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Lord, that you came to be a humble and a great king for all of us, God, that you came to deal with our sin problem through coming through humility and even suffering for us so that we can be yours again, that you came to deal with the sin problem and you took on death for us. And Lord, we know that you reign forever and that we can cling to you and worship you and serve you, knowing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen. Well, friends, thanks so much for joining me for the LifePoint Drivecast today. Would love to invite you to come to services this Sunday in person. You can go to lifepointohio.com and you can find out location and times for in-person services at our Delaware location, our Lewis Center location, and our Westville location. Or if you'd like to join us online, you can do that as well. Just go to lifepointohio.com/watch. Friends, have a great weekend and we will see you on Sunday.